Hello, mate. I hope you're absolutely fantastic. Welcome back to Did You Earn It? Did You Learn It? The podcast that celebrates the hiccups in life to make you realize where you are is exactly where you're meant to be. Gang, today we have got a really cool guest, someone who is really, really special to me, someone who has taught me so much and he probably doesn't realize it. And today is obviously an opportunity for me to thank him, but also for an opportunity to meet him. And I hope that you realize why he's really cool and someone who's had a massive influence on me. We're joined by Mr. Ben Lewis, who is part of the power team at Hemec, but I will get Ben to introduce himself. Ben, mate, how are you? Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. How's things?
What an introduction. I'm feeling like I'm tearing up a bit here, mate. Thank you. That was very kind. I'm doing great. And I know you are as well, because we just had a lovely catch up just before we hit the record button. So I feel privileged that you've invited me onto this, as I think you've recorded fewer than 10 episodes so far. Is that right? So to be within the first 10 is a massive honour for me. So thank you for inviting me on, mate.
Mate, my absolute pleasure. And I'll be honest, the first 10 was an opportunity for me to get better at this, relax into it, because I've not really done anything like this before, but also an opportunity for me to say thank you to the first 10 people that basically had a massive influence on my, let's say, second half of my life, as in my career and my confidence in myself. So the thanks is all to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you've come from. We'd love to know.
Of course. Well, I've probably had a less traditional route, I guess, if you want to call it that, in terms of coming into the fitness industry, where we've obviously met one another. I've kind of fell into the fitness industry working alongside one of my best mates, Dan Hancock, round about 4 years ago. I think it's 4 years ago now. We're coming up for 4 years. Dan came to me and asked me if I wanted to leave my full-time corporate job to come and work alongside him full-time to drive the mission forward, which is MHEC, which stands for Mental Health and Exercise Coaching. So for those of you that don't know, my mate Dan had developed this world's first certification in mental health and exercise coaching, and he recognised that he had a bit of a skills or a knowledge gap when it came to running and operating a business. Now, I've not ran my own business before, but because of my background, having worked in different industries and being a senior manager in a couple of companies and having the business qualifications behind me in the form of two business degrees, he wanted me to come in and help him run the business effectively so he could focus on the delivery of education alongside the award, and then I could look after the day-to-day operations of running the business and initially getting set up with partnerships, devising a strategy and all those types of good things. And now we have taken the award to all corners of the globe, I believe, with good coaches in the UK and Ireland, across Central Europe, Dubai, Australia, New Zealand, America now as well. So the mission is growing. We've had just under 350 enrolled in this time. So We're on to a good thing just now, and the real impact that we're seeing is the benefit of putting mental health first, I guess, when it comes to supporting clients as a coach and not focusing on the traditional methods of exercise instruction or health and fitness when it comes to, you know, focusing on body image goals or scale weight, that type of thing. What we try to focus on is how someone feels rather than the way that they look. And it's been quite a journey so far.
It's absolutely incredible, and something that I'm also very passionate about. And it's amazing the impact that you're having and how both of you as a collective are sort of spreading this and having so much impact. How and do you give yourself time to actually sit back and go, oh my God, this is what we're doing? Like, how do you, like, almost like, I want to say soak up the impact, which sounds bizarre, but how do you able to do that? And it's something you feel comfortable to even talk about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's something that we've had to, I guess, I wouldn't say force ourselves to do, but there have been times where we haven't taken the time to stop and smell the roses, I guess, if you want to phrase it like that, because we've just been so focused on driving the mission forward and trying to get recognition for the training programme. So the award is accredited by the Scottish Qualifications Authority, which is the qualifications body in Scotland. Just because that's Scotland doesn't mean it's not transferable around the world and the rest of the UK. So it is an accredited training programme. And more recently, we have managed to gain SINSPA endorsement for the award as well, which is quite a big thing for us. It was something that we were rejected for 4 years ago when we first started. So to now kind of have achieved that in the first few months of this year, it's been a massive kind of pat on the back for us. So because we've been so working so hard to try and get this, we've not really taken many times to sort of rest on our laurels and see how far we've come, because we've been so focused on getting this. But when we do get these achievements, that does kind of give us a nice warm fuzzy feeling to realise, you know what, if SINSPA had told us 4 years ago that we weren't getting an endorsement, and now that they came back and we've got that endorsement, it's really nice for us to know that there is a bit of a shift in the tide when it comes to the fitness industry. But then also when we have, you know, our in-person meetups with our coaches and we get to see them, there is a really nice moment that Dan and I have. We'll look at one another across the room or something like that and just be like, yeah, you know what? This is fucking special. So we try not to let it distract us too much, because we don't want to become complacent. But when the opportunities present itself for us to stop and be like, wow, like, this is us, this is what we're doing, then we do take that opportunity to do so.
I love it. It's so cool and it's so special. And I've been very lucky to be able to attend one of the events, and the atmosphere and the vibe of what you're doing and the energy and how everyone believes in the kind of the mission, the outcome is just so powerful, and you can't replicate that vibe. So I'm delighted and very proud of both of you, because it's amazing to see you sort of own that kind of space and take it to a place where it needs to be in terms of kind of recognition, which is so cool. You mentioned stepping into the fitness industry, as in from coming from a different industry. How did you find that initially? Was there any fears or concerns that you had about doing that, and how has it been since you've done that?
Great question. You're putting me on the spot here, mate, but this is what I'm here for. Yeah, absolutely. There was like a fear and trepidation of coming into the fitness industry, especially when my job security was really good. So I used to work for an energy company prior to coming into MHEC in the fitness industry. We had actually just gone through a restructuring and a redundancy program through the energy company that I worked for, because we were taken over by another energy company. So there was a merger that happened. So to have came through that kind of restructuring and redundancy process and think, oh my God, thank God I've still got a job, and try and navigate the way in the new company, I was kind of just getting used to that when Dan approached me. Now, Dan and I have been mates for probably too long, going on over 10 years at least. And I've known about his ideas in terms of what he was looking to develop. And I've kind of been there at the start when there was a small spark of an idea. And I've kind of been there firsthand to help him, I guess, formulate some of the ideas, encourage him to keep pushing on, because, again, by talking about mental health, it's something that's still a bit of a taboo subject. It's obviously getting better now, but certainly in the fitness industry for the last few years since I've been in here anyway, it's been a bit of a taboo subject. So for someone to kind of put their head above the parapet so prominently and say, this is the path that I'm following and I want to kind of disrupt the fitness industry, I thought that was pretty fucking cool, if I'm honest. So to be asked to step into this, yeah, it was a massive leap of faith, I guess, because I did have a very secure job. I was at a decent level within the company. I managed a team of people. And I really did enjoy my job. So when I kind of told people, by the way, I've handed my notice in, I did get quite a few messages from people being like, what the hell are you doing? From friends and family, close friends, saying like, what the fuck, are you sure about this? But I think that some people did understand, like, well, Ben must must see something in what Dan is doing to be so trusting to leave something so secure. And that's absolutely the truth, Ben. I could see the vision and the path that Dan had, and I could see where I kind of fit into the jigsaw puzzle of being able to make it work. So I did see it as a challenge to be like, you know what, I know I can play a part in this to drive it forwards. And Dan obviously sees me and trusts me enough to be a part of the future of the company. So I took it as a massive pat on the back and reassurance that I have a particular set of skills, knowledge and experience that Dan could benefit from. But on the inside, I'm still shitting myself, obviously, even though I've just said that. It was scary, but I think that fear kind of drove me, certainly, almost to say, actually, you know what, it's part of this is within my remit to help drive the company forward. So if I need to drive the company forward to keep myself in a job and keep working with Dan, then that's what I'm going to have to do, I guess.
Very, very inspirational. Have you always been someone who's kind of like almost like eyed up a bit of a challenge? Because obviously there was that moment where he maybe, we can set the scene. I imagine you were in the pub because I know you. I imagine he was in the pub and he said, Ben, right, I've got this idea. What do you think? What literally went through your mind in that moment? Was it a case of like, no way I can do this? Or was it actually, do you know what, game on? Like, was it actually, do you know what, this is a bit of me?
I can actually take you back to that moment. We weren't drinking. We weren't in the pub. We were actually in my house after a Celtic and Rangers game. So we did have consumed a few beers by this point. And it was funny because before that, I had been kind of doing stuff in the evening, I guess, if you want to call it that, to help Dan, as he was kind of preparing for the launch of the award. So I was doing maybe a couple of hours in the evening and an hour here or there at the weekend to support him and help him because he had so much going on. And it's funny, I think I've told this story before on a different podcast, but we both kind of came to that game, I guess, approaching the same subject because I was coming to Dan at some point. I was building up to say to him, like, I think I need to leave my job. If you want to get the most out of me, I can't keep doing a couple of hours here and there, because like what I can see is like this is a full-time role. And little did I know that Dan was coming to approach and be like, actually, like I need more of you. And in his head, he was like, I'm gonna have to ask Ben to leave his corporate job. How the hell can I approach that subject? So to have that kind of moment, I'll never forget it, where it was almost like we're literally about to ask one another the same thing. Was pretty special. So yeah, like to eye up the challenge, I knew it was going to be a challenge. Yeah, I'm just glad that it's panned out the way that it has. And don't get me wrong, like there's still challenges that we go through every month, because I'm sure there are many of your listeners are running their own business and know how difficult and shit it can be sometimes running their business. Some months you're absolutely flying. Other months you're scraping the barrel, and we're no different to that. We're not immune to that. There's a lot, as are a lot of businesses, there's peaks and troughs. It's about, I guess, rising to that challenge, building a good level of resilience to being able to manage it, but then also putting the right systems and frameworks in place to make things easier for you to run your business. So it's been a bit of a journey, and one of our company values is actually journey, which is just enjoy the ride. We're not focusing on the destination, because our overall goal is to improve the mental health of everyone around the world through easily accessible exercise, which we may never achieve, but that is the mission that drives us forward on a daily basis. So we're not focusing on that destination. We may never arrive at that, but we're going to make the journey a fucking great one while we're at it.
Have you always viewed it like that? Because as you were mentioning, like the highs and lows of kind of business, and obviously I speak to a lot of people and business always fluctuates. And we sort of talk about building that trust in yourself, that knowing actually if you're doing all the right things, business will come back at some point. But from going from that almost corporate setting into the kind of the fire pit, how was that when maybe things weren't going exactly the way you expected / obviously experiencing something for the first time? what obviously was going through your mind at the time? And then sort of for someone who's listening, who might be kind of experiencing this right now and they're second guessing it, and maybe they're giving themselves a little bit of a hard time, sort of what, like, tangibly or framework wise, did you do or do you do to help you, like, alleviate that pressure?
It's a great question. And I don't know whether there's a right or a wrong answer with it, but I think it's about sticking to your convictions of just trusting in the process, I guess, which sounds a bit like blind faith when I say that, but part of my background is having came from being a data analyst in the past. So I've always kind of had it in my head, like, don't react to one data point, because if you do that, then the next, whatever it may be, might actually be normal. You need to be able to identify a pattern or a trend for you to then actually take action. So I think, and again, this is something I help coaches with every day, is to just that, not react to one data point and think, oh, the world's falling apart. And a few other things that we've developed over time is what our processes look like for normal operations, for delivering against our strategy, for sales and marketing, and understanding how each process step interacts with the overall process, so that we can identify exactly where there may be a breakdown in the process, or a gap in the process, or a bottleneck. So I guess the frameworks that I was trying to introduce into MHEC was identify what those processes look like, try to get Dan to approach things in that manner, because again, he's got a different background and history of employment than me, and not necessarily had to think in that manner previously. So yeah, just working out what our processes were, what patterns and trends we were seeing in the data that we could get our hands on, in order to see, is this actually a problem? Is it a flash in the pan? Is it something that we can course correct? Is there something that we need to do? Is there an action that we need to take? Or is it something that we just need to ride out? And I think sometimes coaches in particular get so caught up working in the business that they don't take time to work on the business. And an analogy that I usually share with coaches is, you'll have heard of Dunkin' for Apples at Halloween. In Scotland, it's called Dunkin' for Apples, but effectively, you're trying to catch an apple in a bucket of water. The analogy that I share is that coaches are spending too long with their head underwater trying to catch the apple. They're drowning, they can't breathe. Whereas the strategy for Dunkin' for Apples is come up for air, look and see where the apples are, and then go back down after it. And if that doesn't work, come back up for air, look to see where it's gone, and go back for it again. So I think if anyone can take that on board, I guess it's about taking the time to stop and come up for air and look at what action you can actually take to correct things, whether it be to try something new or go back to something that has been tried and tested that you know has worked in the past, that you can revert to as a fallback position that you know is going to carry it forward again.
Oh, he's at it again. Mate, I love that. And this was, I think I've known you for about 2 years now. I think it's around 2 years, might be like a tad more. And I remember one of our first phone calls and you were talking about data, and I'm going to butcher this, and I hope that you can save me, because I've just thought about that as you were talking about that analogy, is that you said one of the biggest things with a coach's, anyone's business, any business that goes wrong, it's like a river. And when we kind of have all, like, negative thoughts, pressures, stresses, it's like rocks and silt start building up in the kind of stream, and it starts, the water doesn't flow as kind of naturally. Depending on where you live, there might be shopping trolleys and needles. But the point is that the water doesn't run as smoothly. And the point is you're trying to pull out those obstacles so the water can run as smoothly as possible, as you can think. And the clearer that you can think, the clearer it is to make a decision. Ben, I've just started my business. I've probably been running for about like 6 months now. What is data? Like, I've never tracked anything. It feels quite overwhelming. If I had to track a handful of data points, what would you recommend they would be?
But I might need to take a moment here. We're talking about data. I'm getting a bit overexcited. No, I think
bright red. If you're not watching this, he's gone bright red. He's excited.
No, look, I think it can be overwhelming for a coach, especially for, I think going back to what people may think about data as spreadsheets and numbers and calculations, and that is part of it. But I guess data at the crux of it, at the core of it, is just information. And that information could be around your the clients that you work with, your target market, your niche, the way that they think, the way that they feel, the way that they act. If you have that information, that is data, that's still data that you hold in some form or another if you run a business. But I think specifically if we're looking at measurable data points, things that I would be looking at, I've shared this with you before around lead and lag measures. I'll not bore your listeners too much with the technical definitions of them, but effectively lag measures are you measuring something after it has happened. Therefore, you can't actually change that after it's happened. So, for example, a sale, either you make the sale or you don't make the sale. And a lot of people focus on tracking the number of sales, which is fine, but that then feeds into a bit of a problem because people focus on that number. And it, like I said, it's a number that they can't change after it's happened. So what I try and encourage people to focus on is the lead measures, which indicators of whether you are likely to reach the target that you've set. So for example, tracking the number of sales calls that you have booked, the number of links that you've sent out to people, the number of conversations that you've had with people, those are more measurable because by increasing those in turn, the reality is you're probably going to increase your sales at the end of that process. So I would, if I was a new coach and starting my business, I would look at the measure, the what steps I can measure prior to sale as an outcome happening, focus on measuring those, focus on increasing those. And if you're getting more people over time when you're measuring this, they get onto a sales call, that's when you can start to refine your actual sales call itself. So that then the number that you get at the end of that process starts to increase. And another area that I would get people to focus on when it comes to tracking and measuring data is customer satisfaction. I think there is a massive gap, I guess. Maybe not a massive gap, maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but I feel like there's this sentiment within the fitness industry that clients aren't seen as customers, because I believe that even the language around client and customer, I feel customer is a lot softer. You have customer care teams, you don't have client care teams. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's an element that is lost when it comes to coaches only focusing on clients being clients and not clients as customers, because at the end of the day, customers need to be satisfied or they're going to go off and find another business. They're going to find another product, service, another coach, whatever that may be. So this isn't about, I guess, focusing and annoying your clients, your customers on a regular basis and like being, please validate me. Like, are you happy with what I'm offering? It's not about that. It's just an indicator of, are your clients satisfied with the service that you're providing them? Is that something that you can measure by giving them a scale rating of 0 to 10, tracking that on a monthly or quarterly basis that will give you an understanding of, am I delivering a good service to the clients and customers that I'm working with? Because again, if that's something that you can increase over time, then that will help build your reputation as being a great coach without even focusing about the results that you're getting them at the end of it. It's about making sure that they're feeling like they're part of your service, they're feeling valued in what it is that you're offering them. And I think that is something that a lot of coaches could learn from, is customer satisfaction and how their service impacts that, either positively or negatively.
It's amazing and so important. And again, off the back of when I initially first met you, and these are the things that you were talking to me, and it seems so obvious, but the way that you're framing it is absolutely perfect, and it just gets forgotten because, again, it's as a business owner or as a coach, you're just spinning so many plates and trying to think about all these other things. But as you say, if you can focus on those kind of lead metrics, you're going to be in a much happier place. And as you were saying, it then leads on to be able to actually control things and be in a better state in terms of your energy, in terms of your stress management. I've got one more question to ask you before we jump into some hiccups. You mentioned around mental health being like a taboo subject. I'd be interested to know how it's been kind of advertising that almost towards personal trainers or coaches. How have they kind of viewed that? Did you find there was an initial like what is this? Like a bit of a misunderstanding.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one because I was actually speaking with a couple of people about this just the other day. When we first started advertising and launching the award, the main conversations that we had with coaches at the time was literally, is this safe? Like, am I going to get in trouble for this? That was, if you want to call that an objection handling, is if you want to go down the sales route, that would probably be our primary one. Like, is this safe? Which 100% is a legitimate question to ask. And now we're kind of at the point, I think we kind of moved past that when people did say that it was safe, that we are actually educating people on having tools, policies and frameworks in place to support people with their mental health. Because again, what we educate on the award is how to support and promote positive mental health through exercise. What we don't do, and we're very clear on what we don't do, is we don't diagnose mental illnesses. We can't prescribe medication. Like, that's for the mental health practitioners. So we make a very clear effort of outlining what a coach's boundaries are when it comes to mental health. And in terms of advertising it, there has been a shift. Because like I said at the start, the main kind of question was, is this safe? Since we've kind of developed this over time and we're sharing either social proof of not just our clients that we train at the MHEC gym, because we have our own gym as well, but when we're sharing like the social proof and the testimonials of our coaches' clients and having them say, you know, my coach Ben is an MHEC coach and he's literally transformed how I view exercise, my self-worth has increased, my self-belief has increased, my confidence has increased. And yeah, by the way, like, I have shed a few pounds and I've dropped a dress size, but that doesn't matter to me, like, because I'm feeling the best that I've ever felt and I feel more happy and confident. My family has told me that they've got the old me back. Like, that for us is the driver behind what we're doing. So the real shift that we have now is where we see, I guess, coaches saying, because again, mental health is becoming more discussed and prevalent within society, and more, I guess, accepted as a thing, if you want to call it that, that a lot of coaches are now saying, yeah, I help my clients with mental health. Okay, great. We'll say, like, well, what do you do? I speak to them. Okay, about what? Like, give us a bit more substance. Oh, that's all I need to do. And there's an element of speaking to people and making sure that you're creating a safe space for people. And I guess now it's trying to show people how it's important to have, like, if you are starting to say, yeah, I help people with their mental health, it needs to be done like in a safe way. So it's almost like coin flipped. We were asked previously, are your methods and your tools and your framework safe? Now we're kind of at the other end of it, where there are coaches that are now saying, yeah, I support my clients with their mental health. And we are having to say, well, are you doing it in a safe manner? Do you know what I mean? It's almost like a 360 that we've kind of encountered. So that's what we're trying to kind of navigate now, when we kind of have people saying, yeah, support clients with their mental health. And we'll say, well, what's your policies around it? Are you working in conjunction with a counsellor or a therapist? Like, how do you refer people for additional support? Those are the types of things that we want to try and change in the industry now. And hopefully, now that we've got the endorsement from the likes of SimSpa, we might be one step closer to being able to achieve that in terms of creating more positive change in the industry.
Actual heroes. It's so good and I love it. And that's, I didn't want to forget and not give you the opportunity to talk about it in that way, because I know how passionate you are and I know how important it is that people actually hear that, and making sure. And another reason that I'm so fond of you is that how you stress the importance of skill, framework, policy. And it's so important that people have that, because I spoke about this last week, is that the fitness industry is so fantastic because it gave me, someone who didn't really know where they was going, an opportunity to sort of step into something. But what's amazing about it now is that there's people like you guys who are giving people the real tools and skills to actually go and help people and achieve something, because another reason for kind of stress in people's businesses is they don't actually have the skills to actually support people with the thing that they're trying to provide. And it's amazing that you guys are doing that. So thank you. It's amazing. Ben Lewis, this podcast is Did You Earn It or Did You Learn It? If you feel comfortable to, of course, I would love to hear about a hurdle or hurdles or things that you faced in your life and you think, why did I do it like that? Or I'm actually glad that I did it like that.
Yeah, I have been thinking about this since you originally asked me to come on. And I think one point I would go back to is I said kind of earlier on in this, but I kind of fell into the fitness industry. I actually kind of fell into doing business full stop back in the day. Originally, I mean, going way, way back, I wanted to be a vet when I was younger. And when I'm all the way through school, my kind of school career was working towards becoming a vet. Unfortunately, didn't get the qualifications in order to get a place at vet school, which was incredibly disappointing, and it's still disappointing today, because Ben, if you were to offer me to be a vet tomorrow, I would probably bite your hand off to do it. It's been like that kind of strong with inside me. So, but when I didn't get into that, I then thought, you know what? Sports science is a relatively new-ish and upcoming thing. Back when I was at university a number of years ago, I don't want to give my age away too much here. So I went to do sports science at university, and history repeated itself. I didn't get the grades to actually get into, because it was a kind of a weird setup where at Glasgow University, where I went to at the time, you would go in and you didn't actually do sports science until you got 3 years in. So like the first year was a kind of broad biology and chemistry and psychology that I did. Second year was kind of narrowing the focus down into kind of subsets within biology. And basically, to get into the sports science degree, I had to pass all my exams in second year, which I did. But unfortunately, I didn't have high enough grades to get into sports science because it was an oversubscribed subject. So if there were 50 places, they would take the top 50. Even if there were 100 people that were applying to get into it, they'd take the top 50 with the highest marks. That would be it. So this was a bit of a turning point for me, because I actually remember being on holiday, in a lad's holiday in Sunny Beach in Bulgaria when I was 20, 21, something like that, when I found out the news that I hadn't been accepted for sports science despite doing 2 years already at university. So my options were, I'll never forget this, immunology or parasitology. I mean, even like saying that, like, just, it's not very motivational, is it? So I was kind of, those were my two options. And I thought, you know what, like, I had done those as subjects in second year. I'd done okay at them, but it wasn't anything that kind of really excited me at all. And kind of staring down the barrel of that, I guess I was kind of weighing up, well, what am I going to do? Because I don't want to do parasitology, and I don't want to do immunology either. And I kind of let my family know, you know, I hadn't got into it. I was quite upset about it while I was on holiday. And I've got two younger brothers, Danny and Robbie, and middle brother Danny phoned me, and he was like, I've got in to do this business qualification at college. Why don't you come do it with me? And I was like, what business? Like, I've never done business before. At school, I had maths, English, chemistry, physics, biology, like all the sciences. Never looked at business at all. So I was trying to not laugh down the phone at him, but I was just like, what? Why would I do that? And he said to me, look, Ben, at the time I was working at McDonald's, I'd been a manager there for a number of years while I was studying at university, and Danny had worked alongside me in there. And he was like, mate, you're a manager at McDonald's, like, you know business. And I was like, do I? And he was like, well, you've got like the practical knowledge of it from being a manager within McDonald's, you know, running shifts, managing staff, like teams, all that kind of thing. He was like, you would be doing now is then learning the theory around what it is that you do on a daily basis. So it kind of hit me, and I was like, well, you know what, actually, he's onto something here. So long short of it, I applied to the college degree, and I sat down for an interview with the guy that was leading the qualification. And he actually said to me, you're overqualified for this. because I had like A's and B's at science level. And I said at the time, like, I don't have any business qualifications. And he said, no, it doesn't matter. You just need, I think it was like 3 B's or 2 B's and a C or something to get in. He was like, I don't care whether you ever did business or anything else at school. So I kind of jumped at that, managed to get into it, I did 2 years at college. And it was a kind of a backdoor route into getting into Strathclyde Business School, which is one of the kind of world-renowned business schools, I guess, at university level, to do a marketing degree. And the 2 years there, I graduated with an honours degree in marketing and kind of never looked back. And just when my brother Danny had put it, you're just learning the theory behind the practical that you're doing on a daily basis. He was absolutely right. And I then managed to progress my career in McDonald's. I got promoted up to assistant store manager, but before the time that I left, I then went in to do a graduate program with an energy company, which I loved, worked the way through the ranks there. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess. Now I'm actually helping coaches run their own businesses and teaching them practical elements that I've kind of picked up throughout my career, alongside the theory of business from originally going to university to do my marketing degree. And then as part of my graduate program with the energy company, I had to go back to university again because I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently, to get a degree in business management studies. So several years later, I've got 2 business degrees to my name when I was looking at pursuing a career in veterinary practice and then sports science. So if that's a hiccup, it's worked out pretty well. And I would probably say I've learned it, in your words.
What a cool story. How grateful are you for that conversation with your brother about, actually, do you know what? You've got the skills for this. What about if you just go in this direction? Like, do you think about that anymore? Or is that the first time you've thought about that since I prompted you to say things?
Yeah, I mean, like, I have thought about it a couple of times, you know, and I have said to him, like, a number of times, usually when we both have a few drinks, like, thank you for kind of putting me on this path and recognising something that was, I guess, staring at me in the face that I couldn't see, because he had done business at school and had obviously worked with me at McDonald's. I was his manager at one point at McDonald's, which was a bit tense managing my brother, but it was good. But no, it has set me off to pursue the path that I've been on. And I guess I'm quite fortunate that he kind of looked out for me in that way and said, actually, you know what? Because again, I was actually really upset at the time. Like I said, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do at that point, because the idea of studying another 2 years of immunology or parasitology to then get a job in, I don't know, a research lab or so. I mean, and again, no disrespect to people that do choose that as a path, but that wasn't the path for me. That wasn't what I wanted. So it's nice to reflect back on that moment, I guess, and now see where I am and be incredibly thankful to my brother for that. So thank you, Dan.
Man, that is, I love it. It's so cool. If someone who is listening to this and they're feeling a little bit lost, maybe they don't know what they're doing, maybe they've just had some sort of sad news, as in they can't go and do the thing or it hasn't worked out, if you could go back to yourself / speak to them, what would you say about how they're feeling?
I think it would be, I guess, kind of along the same lines of what I said earlier about Duncan for apples, would be to try and take a step back and look at things a bit more objectively, I guess. And I know it's very easy for me to sit here and that, because again, like, if I was to put myself back in the emotions that I was feeling at that time, that would probably be the last thing that I would be thinking of doing. However, now with the benefit of hindsight, that would have been the best thing I could have done, was to take that step back and look at things objectively and see something that, I mean, speaking about it now, it sounds quite obvious, having been in that role within McDonald's and working on and in a business on a daily basis, but just not being able to see it at that point. So I think my advice for that would be to take a step back, take a breath, look at what your transferable skills are, I guess, because, again, regardless of whatever job you're in, industry you're in, you will have knowledge and skills and experience that could be applied in other scenarios of industries or job roles or job types or whatever. So I think it would be that, yeah, look at what skills you have available or what passions that you have and pursue those, because I think it's a funny one that I see with coaches that we work with that are potentially going through a career change. They might be working in, I don't know, finance, or they might be a hairdresser or something, and they're looking at becoming a personal trainer. The amount of people that I've spoken to in the past, and I imagine will continue to do so into the future, that step foot into this industry, having never worked in it, seem to just have all of their knowledge falls out their head, and it's like they're a newborn into the world and being confused about how do I do this thing or how do I do that moving forwards. But it's about the transferable skills that they would have picked up in the past, you know, the communication skills, the problem solving skills. Like, you don't need to continue doing the one job for the rest of your life to hold on to those skills and not have it be applicable to any other situation or scenario. So I think I've probably rambled a bit there, but in short, I guess it's taking a step back, look at things a bit more subjectively when you can, and look to see what transferable skills that you could potentially apply elsewhere.
Mate, I love it. And that is something that I learned from you in terms of me getting confident in terms of the role that I have now. But before I say really nice things about you, be prepared. Is there anything that you're thinking about that you haven't said yet?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess what I'm trying to do in the industry, I guess, is to, I want to help people when it comes to running their business, because I think there's a bit of a dearth of education in the industry when it comes to running a business. When you think that, I mean, I don't know the statistics, but I would hazard a guess, I'm going to do what Dan does and just post that out of nowhere. Granted, he'll be able to reference things, but imagine in an industry where there's anywhere between 75% of people are self-employed and get very minimal education around business. One thing that I want to try and do is support people with understanding how to run a business, how to operate on a daily basis that isn't just sales, marketing, sales, marketing, sales, marketing, because I'm sure you know as well as I do, and I'm sure your listeners will do, that's prevalent in the industry. Like, everything revolves around sales and marketing, and running a business is so much more than that. So I guess moving forwards, that's what I want to do alongside the award, is to try and help people when it comes to running a business. Because I think when we look at some of the questions you've asked me around, you know, people maybe having a few hiccups here or there, or not being sure of what they want to do moving forwards, I think when it comes to running a business, all that a lot of people are fed in this industry is, you know, grow and scale your fitness business, double your income, get £50,000 months. When there's a lot of people, a lot of coaches out there that want to coach 10 people, and that they're happy doing that. That's all that they want to do. Or they might have a lovely home studio where they might do a couple of classes, but all they've been force-fed through social media primarily is scale your fitness business, scale this, scale that, scale that. Whereas a lot of people just want to have a sustainable business that isn't about world domination, that I guess deserve to be taught and educated on how to run a business that isn't just scaling things to the moon. So I guess that's one thing that I want to bring to the industry. So if any of your listeners are in that boat and they're happy with where they are with business, but they want to maintain the position that they've got, I'd love to hear from them and see if there's any kind of wisdom or advice I could share with them.
Love it. I was trying to push you down an alley. I was looking at your stories the other day, and there was a bit of a soon come scenario, and you were talking about this. Is this secret project that I was eyeing up saying you can talk about, or is there anything around it that you can share a little bit?
I knew that was going to come, but yeah, there's no secret. I think if I'm honest, I'm leaning towards making this secret project not so secret and kind of building it in plain sight, if you want to call it that. without giving too much away, but as part of, I guess, the mission that we have at MHEC has been an education provider. Is one goal that we've always had is to either create new qualifications for the fitness industry around different subjects, not just mental health, but in different either categories or demographics, whatever you want to call it that. So one thing that I'm looking at creating is some form of business training to support coaches, literally, like I just said there, to educate them on my view what real business theory is, real business principles, real business fundamentals that they can take and implement into their own business and make things a bit easier for themselves. Because again, like I'm sure a lot of people listening will know how hard it is to run a business, will be confused by a number of different messages that are kind of popping up on Instagram feeds and Facebook feeds and things like that, and a lot of disinformation out there. So what I want to try and bring to this industry is, hopefully, fingers crossed, again, an accredited qualification or training program that makes business accessible for people, I guess, that isn't just around scale and grow, scale and grow, scale and grow. Obviously, there will be an element of that because, again, there will be people that want to pursue that. But if I boil it down to brass tacks, it's just about sharing business principles, fundamentals, tools and frameworks that can support any business owner, and regardless of what their level of income in their business may be, because it's applicable to everyone. And these will be things that I've picked up from either my degrees, from the theory point of view, or the practical elements that I have collected along 15 plus years of working in different industries and the corporate environment as well. So that's what I've kind of been hinting at through my socials, and thank you for asking about it. It's something I'm going to be sharing a lot more of over the coming weeks and months.
And I couldn't think of a better man to do it. And Ben, thank you for being a guest. Thank you for sharing your passions. Thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for helping me build my confidence when I was someone who was very lost, was very confused about where my skill set was and how I could use it within the industry that I am now in. And it was so cool to meet someone who was kind of so able to be level-headed, someone who was so able to be sort of clear, but had this underlying confidence in yourself. I perceive that you are someone who backs themselves, and it's amazing. And I want to say thank you to you for your friendship. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for teaching me things. And thank you for the opportunities that you have given me over the last couple of years. So I would love it if you're listening today, if you could go and drop Ben his your biggest takeaway, something you've learned, something you're going to go and action. And obviously, if you've ever got any questions around the things that we spoke about today, please go and ask him, because he's incredible at this. And he's even nicer than he is talented and knowledgeable. And I hope that you've picked that up today just listening to him. But mate, I appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for listening. This was Did You Earn It or Did You Learn It? And we'll see you next time.